I'm in it for the long run. The minutes and the years. I'm in it for the long run. The hours and the days. I'm in it for the long run. The laughter and the tears. I'm in it for the long run. Even though you're far away.
Well, hello there. This is Jim Rooney, and I am in it for the long run. Welcome back to this series of programs where I'm traveling through my more than 60 years in the musical world, and I hope you'll come along with me for the ride. This time I'm going to go back to the year of 1963, which was turned out to be quite an eventful year in the folk music world. Bill Keith and I had done an album, recorded the album in the end of 1962, and then Bill got an offer to go play with Red Allen and Frank Wakefield. Frank Wakefield, a brilliant mandolinist, and Red Allen, a great bluegrass singer. They were based down in the Washington, D.C. area, and we were waiting for this record to come out, so Bill took advantage of the hiatus and went down to Washington. And while he was down there, our friend Manny Greenhill brought him and Earl Scruggs together. Bill had, as I mentioned in an earlier show, been soaking up Earl's records and writing down that note for note in a system of tablature that he had developed. The long and short of it was that Earl Scruggs asked Bill Keith to come to Nashville and help him with his instruction book with the tablature. And while Bill was down there, Earl took him to the Grand Ole Opry at the Ryman Auditorium. And there was all of these backstage jams going on. And in the course of time, Bill Keith got his banjo out and started playing The Devil's Dream. And lots of jaws were dropping, and one of the jaws that was dropping was Bill Monroe's. And Bill Monroe offered Bill Keith a job as a member of the Bluegrass Boys. So Bill couldn't turn that down and went down to Nashville and got in the band. And I decided to go down there myself in June. Robert L. Jones and Jeff Muldaur were headed to Blind Lemon Jefferson's grave. One of his songs was "See That My Grave Is Kept Clean," and they were going to give it a dusting off. And on the way, they dropped me in Nashville, and I hadn't been there a day, and Bill Monroe and his partner, Bessie Lee Malden, pulled up in their Oldsmobile station wagon, very well-traveled car, and came in, and of course, I was just overcome, really. It was, here he was, right with us, and sat down on the couch. Bessie had brought some mayonnaise that she'd made. Ralph Rinsler and Del McCurry were sharing the apartment with Bill Keith. Del was in the band, and Ralph was trying to manage Bill at the time. Not an easy task. So, there Bill Monroe sat down, and my guitar happened to be out and was on the couch, and he picked it up and started picking on it, and he said, "Now, whose guitar is this?" And I said, "Well, it's mine." And he handed it to me. He said, "Well, why don't you play something?" And, of course, I play backwards and upside down, and I'm not a guitar picker by any stretch of the imagination, and of course, I was just in a total panic. What would I do? So I just said, all right, and I started playing Reuben's Train and singing it, and I got through it somehow or another, and Bill Monroe looked at me, and he said, "Well, now you've got a good lick there. Don't you change it." And it might as well have been God talking to me and giving me a blessing, because it was just something I couldn't really take in. So I've got to play you this. I found this not too long ago, I don't know exactly where it was recorded. It's a rough recording. I'll warn you right now that it's not hi-fi, but it's real. It's myself singing Reuben's Train with Bill Monroe. Tex Logan is playing the fiddle on this, and Bill Keith is playing the banjo. I have a feeling it might have been recorded somewhere in New York around that area. Tex lived in New Jersey. Any rate, I took Bill's advice. I didn't change my lick, and here I am playing with Bill Monroe, and you can hear his mandolin all through this. The balance is in favor of his mandolin over my vocal, which is probably not a bad idea. At any rate, here we are. About that, there I am with the King of Bluegrass himself, Bill Monroe, and it's hard to me to even describe the how exciting that is to me to even listen to it now and hear Tex Logan, one of the great original fiddlers. I mean, he's a very distinctive style. Nobody plays like Tex Logan. At any rate, it was just I'm so happy I have that recording. So Bill Monroe was a big figure in our lives in the summer of 1963. And another person that was just becoming a very important person to us was Doc Watson. As I mentioned in the last show, Doc came up to Cambridge. Ralph Rinzer brought him up there with Clarence Ashley and Fred Price. And we became friends. Doc at one point stayed with Bill Keith and myself. I'll tell you one funny little interesting story. When Rubber Soul, the Beatles album, came out, Doc was staying with us, and we were listening to it, and Norwegian Wood came on, and Doc said, "Those boys have been doing their homework." And he was just a very open person to music. So at any rate, he always said, "Well, now you boys have come down and visit, come visit anytime you want. And so we were over in Nashville, Bill Keith and myself, and he had a break. We weren't working that week, during the week. So we drove over to Boone, North Carolina, where Doc lived, Deep Gap, and spent the night picking and singing and just a wonderful time. And then we went over to Asheville, North Carolina, where Bill and I had been to the Bascom Lamar Lunsford Folk Festival a couple of times. And it turned out that Doc and Pete Seeger were going to share a concert. And so here's Doc. This will be like the first part of the show. And here he is doing Setting on Top of the World.
I want to do a number here called Setting on Top of the World. I'm not right sure where this came from, but it's an old one. Was in the spring, one sunny day, my sweetheart left me. Yeah, she went away. Now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. Don't you come back running, holding out your hand. I'll get me a woman like you got your man. And now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. Don't you like my peaches? Then don't you shake my tree. Stay out of my orchard, let my peaches be. And now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. Well, she called me up from down in El Paso. She says, come back, Daddy. Oh, I need you so. But now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. Was in the spring, one sunny day, my sweetheart left me. Yes, she went away. And now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world.
Wow. So there was Doc there opening up this show at Asheville, North Carolina, and in the summer of 63. And there had Pete Seeger was on the show, of course, and there was a bit of consternation about that in town. The American Legion had organized a protest about Pete Seeger, the communist, coming into town and this and that, the other thing. And so Doc, at this point, wasn't a seasoned performer, but as you can hear from that performance there, he was just as relaxed on a stage as he would be on his front porch, and just a very engaging, warm performer. Even just early, very early on, he just had that natural knack. And then Pete came out, and the reception would have been cool, you'd say. It wasn't hostile, but it was just cool. And Pete didn't force things. He just got his banjo out, and he played a little Cripple Creek. He played a couple of banjo tunes, and then he played a Rock Island Line and just eased into his program and brought the audience along with him. And he had just come from the Highlander School in East Tennessee, which was a school, a group of people who were trying to educate the people in Appalachia about their rights and their liberties and to get them more socially aware of what could be possible in their lives. And one of the main people at that school was Guy Carawan. And Guy had come up with this song that Pete had just learned. And he decided to do it here in Asheville.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. Walk hand in hand. Montgomery, Alabama. They said, we are not afraid. And the young people taught everybody else a lesson. All the older people that had learned how to compromise and learned how to take it easy and be polite and get along and leave things as they were. The young people taught us all a lesson.
We are not.
Oh,
Pete Seeger. Now, in Asheville, that recording there was done later, as you can tell, and everybody knew the song and was very much into it. In Asheville that day, this was a slow but gradual and very real progression as Pete just brought people along. He eventually got them to stand. He got them to hold hands. And I'm sure there were many, many people in that room who had not planned to be doing that when they came into the room. And he just had that ability to bring people along. And it was just an amazing lesson to me and a tribute to his great ability. Now, Pete, that summer, George Wein had, the